So this is why I got interested in experiencing, and then I began to realize that in the Vajrayana, it's a hot topic, and also in the Mahayana, to actually value your emotions and be able to experience them without thinking about them or conceptualizing them, but actually a completely felt experience. It gives you a lot of insight into why you do the things you do, why other people do the things they do. Compassion comes out of this. It also begins to really open the doorway to Buddha nature and that complete open spaciousness that's available when we're not blocking it with this fixating. Because once I had that experience, it was like liberation of a certain kind. First of all, I saw through my patterns. And second of all, I realized that if I don't do that, even if I just experience, I couldn't say I'll never experience this again, but I realized by experiencing it instead of trying to run away from it, then you can discover the true nature, the unconditioned nature, the natural state, Buddha nature, whatever you want to call it, this open quality. So we're talking about that actually until you start, what Punla Rinpoche was saying in this article is until you start working with unfavorable conditions or unfavorable situations, which is to say situations you don't like, until you start working with them, or when, he said, actually, when you start working with them, this is when you really begin to have the quality of being on a path of awakening. And to the degree that you're always just trying to use your meditation to run away, and you're so happy when it's still and peaceful and things are going well, and then you feel that something's gone wrong when there's any kind of anxiety or loneliness or anger or anything like that. He said, until you begin to really relate with the unfavorable or the unpleasant things as part of your meditation. They're not the whole thing, but until you start working with them, until then you don't really have the quality of being on a path of awakening. And when you start working with them, then it begins to permeate your whole life more. Your meditation is no longer motivated by trying to escape certain things in your life. Do you see? This is very, very important, because otherwise, consciously or unconsciously, we use meditation to try to escape from just experiencing certain qualities of emotion because they're so loaded for us. So Achan Amaro, who is an American, or British actually, Dharma teacher, he said, that which is threatening to ego is liberating to the heart. So we do this practice because it's actually, we're doing this kind of practice of experiencing is definitely threatening to the ego. In fact, it is completely unwinding, dissolving, seeing through. They say there is no ego, really, but it feels as solid as our fixations. And when our fixated quality begins to be seen through, then there's the liberation of this ego clinging. So he said, that which is threatening to the ego is liberating to the heart. So I wanted to just say one more thing about view. So far I've been trying to just point out the importance of experiencing emotions as part of our path. And this is something we do in meditation, but definitely this is something we do throughout the day, because the things tend to come up mostly in what we call post-meditation. And so this isn't just something we work with on the cushion. Maybe you sit down, and every time you sit down, everything's smooth and nothing comes up. But then as soon as you have to have work period and you have to work with someone you don't like or have a phone call you don't want to make or whatever it is, then up it comes. I doubt that anyone of us in this room has any days that are completely free of emotions, disturbing emotions. Maybe occasionally, you know. But I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm saying that actually that becomes your path and you will find the natural state, you will find the open quality of Buddha nature right within those emotions. This is the important point. So by experiencing, you're going deeper into the natural state. Because by willing to experience emotion, that's the same thing as saying uncovering or dissolving the fixation of ego. Because ego doesn't like experiencing. It likes running. So I wanted to point out this. When a strong emotion arises, I'll say this, and then you can notice if you find it to be true in your experience. When a strong motion arises, it distracts our attention. So let's just say we're practicing attention, we're practicing being present, just being in a relaxed, open way, just relaxing into the present moment. We're practicing, training in being present. So we're training in a gentle, open attention to everything that's happening in our minds, visually, with our ears, everything, just this open attention, friendly, open attention. But when a strong emotion arises, the usual pattern is it distracts us. And so suppose we're meditating. It distracts our attention away from the breath, and we get completely caught in it, and we're off and running because it's all mixed up with thoughts. We're not experiencing the energy. We're actually, it's completely wedded with the thoughts, what we call emotion. Well, Trungpa Rinpoche says that emotion, actually the definition of emotion, is energy mixed with thoughts. And if you can let the thoughts go or interrupt the conversation, then you have just the energy. But the interesting thing, the strong emotion distracts our attention away from the breath, but interestingly enough, it doesn't distract our attention into the emotion. You would think it would distract you from the breath into the emotion, but in fact what it does is it distracts you away from the experience. That's what happens. The strong emotion arises, and then what we do next with our mind or with our words or with our actions distracts us away from the energy. So what I mean by this is the strong emotion arises, and almost simultaneously we move away from it with some kind of strategy, which is to say we either go to war. You know, there's some kind of aggressive thing that happens, like aggressive storyline about they or me or something. Destroy, blame, revenge, aggression, plotting it all out, you know. Or the strong emotion arises and we go into a strategy of seeking comfort. And we have a lot of different ways to do that, but there's something, strong emotion arises, and the next thing we know, we're seeking comfort. We're planning. My thing with this woman was that just trying to figure out how to get her to like me again or even talk to me, and I was obsessing, you know, all the time about how to make this work out so I wouldn't have to keep feeling this thing. So we get distracted into a strategy of, like, seeking comfort in some way. Pleasure seeking, or, you know, in our own style, our own strategy of seeking security or comfort or resolution to this difficulty, or going back in meditation, it might be just getting distracted into good memories, pleasant memories, or planning something pleasant in the future, but somehow maybe that's our strategy. Another way we seek comfort is to build ourselves up, which is to say we just get off on someone maybe insulted us, and then there's a strong emotion, and then we kind of build ourselves up that how good we are and how we're going to set them straight and how we're so right and we're so... We build ourselves up. But in any case, all of these strategies are moving away from the actual rawness or realness or immediacy of the actual experience. A control is another one, you know. We have our methods, our strategies of just trying to control the situation to get it to work out okay. And, you know, and then there's a lot of other emotions that are actually distractions too. Like there's the initial discomfort that we're actually afraid of, and then maybe we get teary, maybe we get horny, maybe we get paranoid, maybe we get jealous or enraged, or fear is a really common one. But do you see what I'm saying? It gets really complicated what our strategies are to move away. But generally speaking, that's what happens. Strong emotion comes up and we distract ourselves from actually experiencing it. So you have to test this with your own experience. And this is sounding somewhat conceptual, but really, the basic point I'm making is that it distracts our attention, but not to the experience. It distracts it away from the experience. So that's the basic premise here. So the problem is that when there's strong emotion, we usually become less present. We kind of lose touch. It sweeps us away into some kind of usually thinking about it, but also it can get very complicated with, we have to talk to people, we have to solve this, or if we have to build something or keep busy or go to our room and cry or something, you know. And with illness is an interesting one, because I've had a lot of illness. Illness is not necessarily a strategy, but if you've been ill a lot, you begin to use it as a strategy. So the strong emotion comes up, and then you somehow collapse into your weakness or something. And it could be valid that somehow, but on the other hand, you kind of can use it too. So in other words, you lose touch. That's really the problem. And so the meditation is to experience. In other words, notice that you're moving away, and so there might be in this process a lot of having to kind of really see through your strategies, notice what you start saying to yourself, what happens next, you know, in terms of the kind of stories you tell yourself. It can be everything from your mind becomes very critical, or your mind becomes very self-judgmental, or that you really get at some of your core fears, and you say, you know, like sometimes if I've been doing this meditation with people one-on-one, we'll do it for a while, and then I'll say, and so what are you saying to yourself? And I'll say, what's the words that would go with this? And the words might often be, I never get it right, or I can't do this, or this is too hard. Either you blame yourself or you blame the other thing. This technique is stupid, or this is a waste of my time. Or so, but there's some kind of like negative thinking that goes along, often directed at yourself, like I'm not okay kind of thoughts, some kind of... But that is something that you might see more and more clearly as you do this, but the main purpose is to actually get at the underlying experience of the emotion. So the question is how to sit with attention to the experience, how to actually have a non-conceptual experience, how to feel the energy of it, or well, what I usually say is abide with the experience without believing in the stories about it or the opinions about it. So the key instruction, we're going to be working with different exercises, but the basic instruction for you to remember, whether in meditation or in post-meditation, is when strong emotion arises, go to your body and just start breathing in and out and try to simultaneously hold the experience, or hold the experience maybe is not the best word because it sounds like you're trying to, you know, like pin it down or something, but simultaneously experience what's happening emotionally. And what we're talking about here really is the Shenpa experience of getting hooked. And I'll tell you, as people who wish to attain enlightenment, if we don't work with this, there's no hope for us. Because I've seen people meditating for years and years and years as they've experienced the nature of their mind, they've experienced stillness and calmness and things, but as soon as a relationship goes bad, or they get fired from a job, or they get negative feedback, or they find out they have a serious illness, or someone they love has a serious illness, they just collapse. And it's just like they never meditated a day in their life, and this emotion completely takes them away. There's something so strong coming up, they don't want to go there, and they go on automatic pilot, and it turns into a big scenario of either self-denigration or criticizing the outside, and it becomes a major fixation. And it's just like, and there's no path quality in it all. There's path quality until you hit the tough points, and then you're just more samsaric than the average person. It's like this stuff, like that person who really just insulted me, has nothing to do with awakening. You know, they're really bad, and we're going to make sure we get rid of them. And we want everybody to get together and agree on how bad they are. And, you know, it gets like that, you know, either in your fantasies or actually in reality. And I've seen it happen so much with very senior practitioners that I just implore you to really work with this, because this is so important. Don't think it isn't. It's important. You actually can't do Vajrayana practice unless you're practicing this way. And in fact, you can't do Mahayana practice either, Because with Mahayana, without practicing this way, you have no compassion for other people. And also you have no appreciation for what you can learn from your emotions. So the basic instruction is when the strong feeling comes up, and it will be accompanied by a strong habitual pattern. These are the ones I'm talking about where you automatically start to go into your justification or whatever it is. That's where we really get stopped in our tracks in terms of our path of enlightenment. But it is the very place where we actually could make enormous progress on the path if we're willing to take that as path. So the basic instruction is that when it arises, go to the body and breathe in and out and also experience at the same time. And so this is to say, if you just go to the breath, people sometimes use that as a way of repressing the emotion. You know, there's like anger comes up and then you just go to breathing as a way to sort of chill it out. And that's not really what I'm talking about, because that could be something you need to do, maybe to calm down, but you also want to really experience the underlying energy of anger till it no longer has this power over you. And chilling it out helps a little bit, but it's still there to just pop out the next time the causes and conditions arise. It's just there, just as strong, and you're just as afraid of it as ever, maybe even more afraid. Because every time you repress it, you're becoming more afraid of it. It's becoming more of a opponent, you know. And it's bigger than you, you know. So we're trying to experience. So breathing is a way of staying present. It sort of anchors you. Because if you just go to the felt experience without the breath, my experience has been, and the experience of other meditators, is that you can drown in it then. You know, it's just like so filled with conditioning and so kind of threatening that you just sort of like feel like you can't get any breath. You definitely connect with the experience and then you feel like you're drowning and you can't. You know what I'm saying? It's like overwhelm, I guess was what I'm talking about. So breathing with it really helps. But that's the point though, to breathe with it, not to breathe it away. Do you see? And if it does dissipate, fine. I mean, that's what just happened. Let it be like that. But the point is to experience, to go to our experience rather than go to our strategies or our conceptual ways of exiting. Now, some people use Tonglen, and that's really how I first found my ability to do this, because of the fact that you're breathing it in. The metaphor of that or the image of that was extremely helpful to actually get the feeling of not running away from it. So it doesn't have to really be Tonglen. You could just have the feeling that as you're breathing it in so that you're kind of being it. You are it, actually. You don't have to divide yourself in two, but you could have the image of breathing it in to the heart. It helps. Helps the idea of breathing it into the heart, the large heart, if that helps you. So you don't have to actually call that Tonglen. It sort of becomes Tonglen when then you take the next step and you breathe in for all the other people who are feeling exactly what you are. So this becomes the basis for Tonglen, the basis for empathy, for being able to stand in someone else's shoes. You're feeling, say, it's anger or fear or jealousy or poverty. And then as you breathe in, there could be the recognition that billions and zillions of people feel this right in this moment and have in the past and will in the future, that you're touching into a universal experience. For you, it has a particular storyline, but it's a universal experience. Does that make sense to you? That fear, anger, jealousy are universal experiences. All emotions are universal experiences when actually tasted. And so this is the general instruction, is to breathe with it. And notice that your mind keeps wanting to go away from it and just keep coming back.